Hello, good evening and welcome to In The Know, brought to you by The Racing Post and Boyle Sports on Grand National Eve. Get your mince pie equivalents out and put them by the fireplace for the big race tomorrow, because we are almost there. And this year, it's an absolute crackerjack. Again, I think if you took 25% of the runners and said, this is a Grade 1 staying chase, most people would believe you. And it takes a Grade 1 staying chaser to win the big race in these post-COVID days. The last few seasons, the better the horse, the better the quality, the better the engine, the more likely you are of finding the winner. Certainly not the better the jumper, but we might get into that in a little bit. But you want fairly young, fairly unexposed, progressive, in form. It ain't the race of old, but we're not previewing the race of old. We're previewing this year's National, and it is an absolute fantastic lineup. Aside from that, we do have three actual Grade 1s tomorrow as well. The quirky but talented Salvatore Monday is a short price favourite over fences. We've got another staying hurdle, Liverpool hurdle again, is, it's a really difficult race to solve. Probably not as difficult as the Cheltenham equivalent, of course, but we'll see how that goes. And Dan Skelton has a strong chance of landing another Grade 1 with Bossman Jack again in the Mersey Novices Hurdle as well. And, of course, every other race on the card will be previewed here tonight. We are live and interactive, so hello to everyone who's watching on the chat, to David, to Rob, to Dorian, to Zach Rosser, to Eden, to King of Moorland, to Romping Home, and to everyone else. Like, subscribe, get involved in the chat, and when we get to the big race as well, give us your 1, 2, 3. Let's go 1, 2, 3, 4 and put them in a combination tricaster.
Why not have a fifth as well while we're there?
Why not have a fifth? Let's go for a 5-horse combination
tricaster. You're allowed to have 5 bets in the Grand National. I don't see any reason why you shouldn't.
I don't see any reason either.
And if you want.
Guest number one for tonight is Mr. Robbie Wilders.
Thanks for having me.
I presume you've managed to whittle the big race down to 5, then, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, about 7, I'd say.
7?
Yeah.
All right.
First time I've been sat in this studio for a while, actually.
It is.
The last time was when we wanted to get Lossiemouth being at the Dublin Racing Festival all those months ago.
Yeah.
And here we are, the weather's nice again. The clocks have gone forward.
Yeah, and to be fair, you put up the world's most elaborate sort of combination-related bet, and 2 of them came off.
Yeah, true, yeah. I wasn't really bringing that up for... Like
I thought
back or anything,
it was but... almost a very good. It was almost Cheers. Very good. Robbie Wilders, almost very good.
I don't know, yeah. Nice to see you, mate.
Nice to see you.
Because you've been coming in a lot on Mondays. I've been working from home Mondays a lot, so
you've got. I mean, you've got your fingers in so many pies. You've
the
almost
right
opened
pies.
A bakery, haven't you? So
yeah.
There's a lot going on now. What about entry today? What was your highlight on the afternoon?
Highlight. Don't know. I didn't. Well, I was on Solness as well, so that was the big low light. As well as he ran, because I was banging the Grey Dawning drum for Gold Cup for ages, and then seeing your old friend beat your new friend, never ideal. Don't know. It was pretty good. Apart from obviously the Gold Dancer incident, I actually thought he was fine after he jumped the last. But I don't really know equiney stuff like horse look. But Kitty was like. Now, that horse is injured as soon as he jumped the...
It was interesting that
the
bloodstock expert essentially was she was instantly on it, whereas the form experts maybe...
Yeah, I was laughing at her like, nah, just win the race.
Yeah.
But she was spot on, so credit to that
if
you're watching.
And it was... it wasn't...
No.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great, but Grey Dawning and Solness were very interesting indeed. Neil King... Getting a Grade 1 in the bag?
Yeah, kudos to him. Like him as a trainer. Long time coming, I'd say. I didn't see that outcome happening one bit, though, to be honest.
No, and neither did producer Ben.
No, shout out to producer Ben involved with Baron Noir, obviously. You actually told him during the race, like, this is one, mate.
Well, I did. I mean, it set up perfectly for him. In theory, the Sinatra and Sober Glory kind of got each other out of their comfort zones. Baron Noir sat in the slipstream. He pulled out, aimed dead centre. I thought, here we go. He's going to eat up the ground.
Yeah.
Made a mistake when he was trying to go through the gears, which made the wheels spin a little bit. But I think bigger obstacles next year will... Because he jumps like a chaser, but he's clearly got an engine. And hey, what would you give to own a horse who's finished 4th and 3rd in 2 Grade 1 novice hurdles?
I probably wouldn't get involved with horse ownership, but it'd be nice.
Okay, fair enough. Well, don't invite Robbie to your syndicate.
I'm not sure he owns that much of it, does he, Ross, to be fair?
I think he's alongside about 50 other people as well, isn't he?
No, he owns 10%, is it, Ben?
10%?
10%. Oh, right, one in 10 of it, sorry.
Good man, Ben. No, I've been paying you too much. They're paying you too much.
I assumed it was like 2%.
No, no, 10% of a grade one horse.
Serious business, then.
Serious work.
Yeah, yeah. What was your highlight of today, Mr. Siegel?
What was my highlight of the day? Good question, Ross. Remind me of the winners.
You're struggling, aren't you? Tom Siegel did not enjoy today.
All right, okay.
That's what I'm getting from that.
Well, do you know what my highlight was? Having two non-runners when I woke up this morning in the Topham saved me losing loads of money over the national fence again. That was my highlight.
That is true. All right, guys. I mean, between both of you, you've managed to puncture my balloon ahead of getting geared up. No highlights. Fair enough. Right, yeah. Thanks for coming, guys.
Oh, no, the Solness. Grey Dawning race was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a good race.
That was a good race. Enjoyed it very much.
It was a good race. Again, although I think we'd all pretty much... There was four of us all gathered around the telly who... all. It was a bit like, you know, I don't know, finding out you... It was four strangers basically had booked a train seat and found out they're all on the table because we all looked around and went, have you backed Solness as well? Have you backed Solness? We all backed Solness and we were... You've never seen four blokes leaning closer to a telly and then retract in pain as Grey Dawning snuck up the inside. But it was, it was a good finish. And again, I mean, what an incredible horse. Fourth in a Gold Cup, drops back to 2.5 and makes it look fairly easy in the end.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, how it's so difficult. I find Aintree so difficult because you don't know which game to play, do you? You don't know whether to take on the... I mean, to me, Grey Dawning had all the hallmarks of a horse I didn't want to be anywhere near. I don't know, and so did anyone else. He went from 7-4 to 5-1. I wasn't the only one. And yet, on form, he had a very good chance. He was top on Racing Post ratings. He'd won grade ones, you know, more than one grade one. Mm. You know, it wasn't the best race you'd ever seen. What was Hartwood going to do? Well, he did what Hartwood does, doesn't he? And after a good run, you just did, those are the things you just, it's just so difficult to pinpoint. You know, in the old days, you'd have lots of good horses coming to these Aintree races who'd sort of deliberately miss Cheltenham, and they were good bets. Now I find it really difficult to know what's going to happen. Hopefully tomorrow will be a little bit different. But in those grade ones, you know, your Neil King horse and winning a moderate Newbury Maiden, and then you have Grey Dawning coming back from finishing fourth in the Gold Cup. You know, it's hard. It's difficult.
Yeah, it is. I mean, to be fair, to a certain extent, it should be, if you know what I mean, because it is it is a big festival. But, fair play to Neil King. Other things to mention from today, I think Joseph O'Brien's horses, flat jumps, you name them. Crikey, they were on fire. it's got a couple of chances tomorrow, of course, and Zeus Power, yeah, really well backed. And again, in the back of my mind, it was like, I haven't seen enough of this horse to know whether he was just a late headway monkey last time out. He won really well.
Yeah, he did. He didn't jump very well the last few hurdles, did he? And, for a minute, I thought the nutty horse was going to win it from the front. The horse with was it Anthony Honeyball trained it?
Yeah, Catching Savo.
Yeah, really nice horse. Really nice horse. Going to be a really good staying chaser. But, he had no form, did he? And so that's the point I'm trying to get. It's really difficult to know. Is Zeus Power going to follow up? In fact, I thought he improved. I thought he travelled better and did everything. Or is he going to bounce on the back of a hard run? It's just a difficult one to know. It's just hard. And that's why, I agree with entirely what you say. Aintree should be hard. But it's the five-runner races that are hard. Do you know what I mean? I don't mind the 30 runner handicaps being hard. They are hard. Five runner races where you know they're just as hard from my perspective, and that makes it really tricky.
And again, to be fair, Robbie, the only other thing I would say is I don't think you want a horse sort of coming off the back of a disappointing run. I mean, every horse who won today was going into it in fine fettle, whether they'd gone to Cheltenham or not. They were coming off the back of big runs. Obviously, Wellington Archer won at Utoxeter, the Gold Dancer and a blinder. Stormy George was coming off the back of a win. Grey Dawning had run fourth in the Gold Cup. Will the Wise had run really well previously. Zeus Power had caught the eye at Cheltenham. I mean, even Laffey had, you know, went off 20-1, but had finished fifth in the Moor battle. So I think there's going to be a few horses where you go, well, if you could excuse their last run. But if it is hard, if it's hard for us punters, it's hard for for trainers as well. And I don't know whether getting horses back after a bad run and then going to a big meeting like this is necessarily ideal.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. So are you, have you built your Grand National shortlist along those lines? Because...
To a certain extent, yeah. I don't... I mean, even more so in that race. Again, because quality's coming to the fore, I think. Yeah, I just don't want a... Well, you know, if you can excuse this and you excuse that, I just don't think there are any excuses.
Fair. I mean, I could just see that, like, something winning that hasn't... Because it's so hard to predict, that hasn't been running well lately. And it's the kind of meeting that... Well, a horse is coming off a long layoff sort of thing, kept back for the spring. I don't know. But there is logic to your strategy.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see how that works out as the evening goes on. Like I said, let us know in the chat what you fancy. Before we get stuck into tomorrow, though, again, another reminder that we are in partnership with Boyle Sports, and new customers get £40 in free bets when you join and bet a tenner. So the link is in the description down below. So if you haven't done so already, make sure you sign up. Right, let's go through the entry card on Grand National Day then, and we'll rattle through the first few races a little bit quicker than normal, so we can put the pros and cons for pretty much every horse in the National to the test later on. We start off with the Maggle 2 miles at this novice at Chase, and Salvatore Mundi, somewhat unsurprisingly, skipped Cheltenham. Because Cargese and Kopec Debord were already there for a yard who has 10 Grade 1 novice hurdlers and chasers for every possible race. 5-6, Calaconti, 7-2, who also skipped Cheltenham. Mighty Bandit didn't go to Cheltenham, 5-1. Be aware, did go to Cheltenham, didn't work out, 11-1, and then it's 12-1 and bigger the rest. But some horses are fairly talented and very straightforward. Some horses are very talented and not straightforward. Salvatore Mundi certainly falls into the latter category, Robbie. But you know, his best performance on his race card is comfortably at this meeting last year, and you can't help but feel that it's been a fairly easy decision to just wait for this race.
Sure. Before we get started, can you tell me what Salvatore Mundi is?
Wasn't he? I'm assuming, I can't remember. Was he an artist?
It was a painting by Leonardo da Vinci, where the subject is depicted in this position.
Oh,
okay,
there you go.
But let's get on with the actual racing.
Tell me about the horse.
Salvatore Mundi, been given, I think, Irish handicapper Johnny Pearson's got butterfingers again with that high figure for his beginner's chase win. Don't really know what he's beaten there. Entitled to do it easily. You know, horses that are running for handicap mark sort of thing. And his prior chase form isn't that great to me. I mean, clearly, as you highlight, he's got the outstanding hurdles form. His defeat of Romeo Cudo here last season is, and that's a brilliant novice form. But I don't know. I don't know if he is yet to prove that he's as good over fences. And Calaconti has at least comparable form over fences. I mean, that the best piece of form in this field is the defeat of Cargese, the Arca winner.
Yep.
I know Cargese, that there wasn't a day, blah, blah, blah. But it showed she has a serious engine for 2 miles. And then she's gone and run at Sandown. And testing ground of 2.5 miles, Silly Isles, that's a race for staying chasers, isn't it?
Yep.
I mean, Handstand's beaten Django Bay last season. She's not quite got home. She's kind of back down to 2, missed Cheltenham. I like that angle. And, I mean, Gordon Elliott had 2 mares, beat the boys. With his only 2 runners on the opening day, I could see Calaconti doing it again.
Yeah, again, it looks an obvious sort of move for them. And she is another one of those horses who is so strong at the back end of a 2 mile races that it's easy to think, to understand why they go, let's try over 2.5. But I do like that back end strength over this trip.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, there's always this pining to go up and trip, but sometimes you just can't be a strong stand 2 miler that doesn't want 2.5 miles, and that probably is what she is.
And again, only 3 mares have tried to win this race, and 2 of them weren't very good. But it's not your obvious springboard, but she's very, very talented. Willie Mullins, though, the past 10 years, Tom has only run 3 horses in this and won with 2 of them. And the one who got beat was Hercule de Searle, who's messed around in that horrific start where Master Chewy and all that a couple of seasons ago. So, again, and also, look, the more you go down this, I know handicappers can win grade ones, as we've seen this afternoon, Tom, but there are a few that are going to have to step up to the plate in quite a big way here.
Yeah, I don't fancy any of the ones be aware downwards. I think we've seen them do their stuff for the season. They're not good enough. I think Salvatore Mundi will win by very easily. I think he's different class to these. It's just about the jumping, isn't he? I think Caliconti is just a bit slow. He's just much faster than her. And I think he'll win. So we'll get rid of this race and move on to the next one as quick as possible.
Okay, fair enough. Salvatore Mundi then 5-6, Caliconti 7-2. And very quickly on the chat, most expensive painting in the world, apparently, Salvatore Mundi.
Thank you.
Disputed if it's Da Vinci or one of his students. God, you'd be livid if you bought the most expensive painting in the world and it wasn't by Da Vinci, wouldn't you?
Exactly. It was the student who'd had a few times.
Yeah, and just signed it off in the bottom. He won't mind. He's busy. He's busy inventing helicopters. Anyway, okay, Salvatore Mundi then is odds on for the opener. The big 3-mile handicap hurdle is up next, where Supremely West, who took the pretense and landed some tidy bets, is 4-1 to go in again. Again, Graham Rodwaite, if he was here, would say that was his day. It's not his day tomorrow. 11-2 hold the serve. Fortune Timmy 6s, Cacker's Cousin 7s, Absolutely Doyen 14s, Duke Silver 14s, and 16-1 bar those here, Tom. And a little bit like with Madara today, the bets were landed at Cheltenham. The handicapper has taken action. And a worthy favourite, logically. But you can't help but feel that... I kind of feel like Supremely West will run really, really well, but will find something a little bit better on the day. What do you think?
Yeah, well, this is a much better race than the Pertemps, isn't it? The Pertemps, I mean, and why they have the Pertemps at the Cheltenham Festival, I'll never know. It's a complete waste of everyone's time, in my opinion.
I think it's just to wind you up now, Phil. That's why they have
Well, it's just a whole load of rubbish horses, isn't it? They've been trawling around getting fourth and been handy in five runner races for me. I mean, it's nonsense. So, listen, this is a much, much better race. You've got some seriously good young horses coming in against him. He's up in the weights. I want to take him on. I know the Skelton think he's still well handicapped, but 4-1, no. Hold the serve is very interesting. He was really good at Kempton, I thought. Just not totally convinced that form is as good as it looked at the time. Two I like are Fortune Timmy and Cacker's. You're not Cacker's cousin, are you, Ross?
I'm Rui Costa's uncle.
Hey. AC Milan references.
I wouldn't mind being Cacker's cousin myself, but there we go. But I like him. I like him a bit. Ran, was well backed, wasn't he, for the EBF final. I'm not sure he liked the slog up in the mud at Sandown that day. Just the O'Neills in these handicaps, they're a bit deadly at the moment, aren't they? Another one today, Wellington Arch, especially the handicap hurdles. And I just thought it was interesting that he is running here. I think he's going to appreciate the step up in trip. He's got a nice lightweight. So I think one of those three, 17, 15, 21 will win. I've gone for 21, but I'm not sure. But I think Hold the Serve and Fortune Timmy have good chances too.
Yeah, I mean, they're all really unexposed horses off incredibly light weights, aren't they, compared to your favourite. And again, John Joe did it again with Wellington Arch today.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that's what I was saying, magnificent record. Willful was 1-2, was second in the bet what used to be the Tote Gold Trophy, didn't he? So,
but it's strange for a yard who, again, you know, I imagine most people, if you'd said what kind of horse they're associated with, they would have said Staying Chasers, but it seems to have completely changed in the past couple of seasons.
Yeah, he's winning lots of them, isn't he?
He is indeed. So the two you put up in the paper are...
I've just put up Cacker's Cousin, but I do think Fortune Timmy and Told the Serve have a chance too.
All right.
What do you mean? Oh, who
that's
went,
why
oh,
the price has gone that's before I've got involved. Gone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can almost say it's 50-50 whether Tom's ruined it for you or not. So,
yeah, fair play of the gentleman having a grasp on an Aintree festival market like that. Impressive. Yeah. I like Cacker's. I mean, I don't want to go over what's been said already, but he was, he fared best of the prominent races in the EBF final. I'm a sucker for an EBF final. That's always a good race.
Yeah.
And he had a high enough weight in it, running on soft ground. If he was ridden with more efficiency up in trip, he's bred to get the extra 4 furlongs. The O'Neill's win has probably factored into the price today as well, Wellington Arch, I'd say. They're just having a really good time of it at these spring festivals. Even Wellington Arch won that big race you talked about before that. I think he's on a good mark. I will give a shout. I thought there's quite a few interesting ones in this. I did have a bit of a Hail Mary on Manila Rescue at the start of the week.
Yeah, I saw that in your column and I thought,
I was just trying to find some 66 to 1 shots, just sort of mixing up a bit. Sometimes it's boring trying to find winners, just try and find the big ones
that will give you a big room.
Well, he might do, he might run awfully, but the reality is he went quite close in the Sefton last year and he's down to 136 again.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, of course, he was
real eye catching that. He was like detached last at one point and then he seemed to really get motoring in the straight. He's got cheap pieces and Ben Jones on. I don't know.
Actually, you know what? I've convinced you. Well, again, you look back and it's horses for courses and conditions, isn't it? I
mean, yeah, exactly.
After that second, he won at Uttoxeter, then finished second at Uttoxeter over 3 miles on good ground and basically hasn't had those conditions since.
No, exactly, yeah. I mean, he's out the back over an inadequate trip, Cheltenham and the Coral Cup, and then he ran on bad ground at Doncaster. So I think you could see a different horse. He's kind of a volatile character, really. But the fact that he's done it at Aintree, like if it wasn't at Aintree, I wouldn't be getting involved.
And he's got Ben Jones booked as well.
Exactly, yeah. And you'd have thought it's been the plan. And he's the rank outsider. So there's another one.
Okay. I feel like a man who... You've convinced me to join your cult, maybe there, Robbie. Maybe it's possible.
He's just not going to win, is he? He's going to...
No, but he might. But again, you'll get a better payout for him to be beaten five lengths into a place in Supremely West winning.
Yeah, I'd rather back him than Supremely West. Yeah. Supremely West has had his day. We know this is probably his day.
Yeah, fair.
So, let's go.
I had three horses on the shortlist because I did kind of want to take the favourite on with a few. Big prize as well. Kiki Joe interested me a little bit. Finished fourth here back in October. Was stuck down the inside. Never got a clean run. The whole home straight was scratching for room. Basically everything went wrong that could go wrong. Snuck up the rail. Finished fourth. Finished really well. Then bolted up and beat Supremely West. Admittedly, when you know we all know what was going on then. And then at Sandown, two pulled miles clear and. I just really liked that performance. And he ran in the Potemps, but he didn't off since that race. He ran all right until about two or three out, and then he just faded out the back of the telly. But the fact that he's got, I think, a call massively for that run, he's got course form, I think he's really interesting. The one who would be my Manila rescue for place angles would be Harbour Lake.
Okay, yeah.
Who absolutely, he's 10 years old, but he loves it around here. He's run three massive races over hurdles at this track, and this should be absolutely spot on for him. And then the other one was Duke Silver, who I thought was the big eye catcher in the Potemps. And as we said, Joseph O'Brien's horses are on fire at the moment. He absolutely shot home. And again, when I first watched it, I thought, is he just, you know, catching the eye late headway monkey? But I thought the same about Zeus Power from the yard. And look what that did today. So there you go, there's three.
I think what Tom said is spot on, though. This is a much deeper race than the Potemps.
Yeah.
Like, we've not even mentioned Quantum Quest. He was entered for Henry de Bromhead. He was entered in the Sefton earlier in the week. And some of his form lines read all right compared to his mark, so pretty deep. I wouldn't be going near Supremely West, to be honest.
Well, and again, it's just mainly, it doesn't even matter if it is a very, it's more that the day's been had.
Yeah, once you've had your day, it's hard to have it 3 weeks later, isn't it?
Madara, Hartwood.
Your day is going to take it out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Okay, plenty of angles there. Hold the service, throwing at the weight's going to be trip, says Dorian. Push the button to go well at a huge price for Maddie Playle. Hello, Maddie.
Maddie's watching.
Good luck with Push the Button.
Shout out, Mads.
So there you go. Kiki Joe is a more backable price than the others, I fancy, says King of Moreland. Okay, there you go. Moving on to the Mersey there. 2.5 miles here for this Grade 1 novices hurdle. And Bossman Jack is 5-2 favourite here. Ballyfad 3s, Montmorez 13-2, Scorpio Rising 7s, Soldier Reeves 7s, Masked Man 11s, and 16-1 bar those. And the Turners has already been given a good old boost today by Zeus Power. And there are a couple of other big eye catchers in that race, both trained by Dan Skelton, both in this race here. And Robbie, my initial note when I watched that race was Soldier Reeves run a blinder. And then I watched it back again today and I actually thought, crikey, that Bossman Jack. I didn't realise how far back he was in the early stages, and he crept and he crept and he crept. I think he might have almost won that race had he not blundered through the line.
Shame the market has spotted that, isn't it, really?
It is a big shame, actually, yeah.
Yeah, in regard.
But so, I think he's Soldier the best Reeves. Horse in the race.
He could well, but I thought Soldier Reeves would be running over 3 miles sooner than 2.5 again. Yeah, he could win. It's pretty competitive. Be tempted by a related double on Kaka's cousin Scorpio Rising, just because I like the EBO final form. But he's probably got a bit to prove on quicker ground. The one that stood out to me was the Frenchie, not on the screen. Actually, he is on the screen. But he's a bigger price. in some quarters. Shouldn't say that really, but I have. Rooster Crowing. He is a French horse who ran against proper top-class horses in France last time. Mm. Los Angeles Bleu. Anyone know that horse? He was pretty good. You know how much money he's won in his career?
10 million.
1.3 mil. That's a good horse.
Could Los Angeles Bleu buy the Salvatore Mundi?
Probably not.
And
more lozenges.
Leader Sport was a grade one winner. So he's going up, he's battle hardened 5 year old. He's coming back into novice company. Always interesting when these Frenchies make the journey over. And just thought he was one that could go up massive. I don't really know. It's hard to obviously weigh up that form. Mm-hmm. But then we've had, David Cottin, JetBlue, come over and won something. So I think the French horses are all, I know it's a different operation, but they're always worth a second look. And he's a big old price in a race that I think is fairly open, despite you being pretty adamant that Bossman Jack is the best.
I just thought it was an absolutely blinding run. I loved the time of the Chepstow win was fantastic. The way he travels through his race, he's got a right old engine on him. Albeit, Tom, if lightning's going to strike for a fifth time in a row, I mean, we think this race is hard, but Gordon Elliott has won the last four run-ins of it and has Ballyfad, who was also in the Turners.
Yeah, Elliott's horse didn't run very well at Cheltenham, I didn't think. In fact, he had Wadoo won, didn't he? But I thought she ran well below par as well, even though she won.
Yeah.
He had some run well, but I was really disappointed with Ballyfad. He could bounce back. I'm with you on Bossman Jack. I think he's got a very good chance. I do like Monty Mares as well. I was impressed with him at Kelso. The old Lacey and Shepherd combination did pretty well round here. They're with Cruise Control, who we'll talk about in a minute. I just thought he could go well. And Scorpio Rising, obviously, from the EBF final. I think Bossman Jack might win, actually. I do, but it's a bit boring, so I left the race alone. I'm interested in Monty Mares going forward because I liked him at Kelso.
Yeah, it was a weird race, though, wasn't it? I mean, I watched the start of the race, and then I think I was doing something else for another. Anyway, and I think I turned away to do something else on the computer. Turned back, and half the field weren't in the race. It was the turn for home. It kind of fell apart, but he did absolutely muller them, didn't he?
He was impressive. He was impressive. Look, he couldn't take a big step up. That form isn't brilliant. But, you know, we've seen with the Neil King horse today, these horses that are just getting better and are right bang in form can win these races. Now, he's not as big a price as that one, but I just thought he might go well. But I do like Bossman Jack. It's not a race I've spent too long over really.
Yeah, I mean, me neither to a certain extent, because I sort of looked at Bossman Jack, looked at the speed figures, watched the race back and thought, crikey, we've got a good horse on our hands here. Dave Brown says, Bossman Jack may win, Ross, but you'd be in a poorhouse back in unlucky losers next time out. Yeah, I don't think he was an unlucky loser. It's not quite like he got boxed up with nowhere to go seven times on the flat and rattled home. It was more the way that he went from sort of second last to mid-pack and then stalked into the race and then was kind of flung at the last and ended up making that mistake. And I don't know. It was the whole package, I thought. And I thought, crikey. And bearing in mind, he'd only won a Chepstow Novice. And the winner, King Rasco Grey, was coming out of a Grade 1 company previously. So, yeah, I don't know. I thought he was very, very interesting indeed.
And it was one thing to say, it was interesting that he was... few tipsters got hold of him, didn't he, the night before. And he really shot in. And then he was a huge drifter on the day.
Yeah.
Felt to me like Stelton's are very transparent with their horses, aren't they? When you see the market going, you know, like today, everyone knew Bon Bon wasn't going to win, even though it had a clearly good chance. Clearly, they didn't fancy it. But by the way, it was going now. It ran very well for a long way. It just seemed to me that they didn't think Bossman Jack was going to win that day. Maybe they think he's going to. Maybe they think today's the day. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, like I said, Chepstow Novice to Grade One. Maybe it was like, we think we've got a good horse on our hands. Let's see if he can figure, basically. Although I will say that was the weirdest market of the whole meeting. I mean, No Drama This End went off an incredibly short price. King Rasco Grey drifted. Act of Innocence drifted. Bossman Jack drifted. Everything drifted. It was weird.
Yeah, it was. It was. But Bossman Jack was a huge drift. I mean, he was 33 to 1 on the exchanges when I looked at him. at one stage, you know, when he was like 6 or 7 to 1 the night before.
Yeah. Tommy Daniels, Ballyfad were better suited to this track, and a couple of people have said that Ballyfad got kicked at the start at Cheltenham, which won't have helped, will it? Let's be honest. Right, see the next race at Aintree, 3 mile, 1 furlong, so here for the handicap chase, where Mr. Hope Street is 11-4, favourite Brave Fortune 9-2, Cruise Control 11-2, 6-1 is Deep Cave, Imperial Saint doesn't go, of course, because he gets into the National, 7-1 Look Away, Maya Town doesn't go either, Confusion is 12-1, and then bigger prices the rest, and yeah, not my type of race, and in fact, you know what, this specific race, Tom, is part of the reason why I don't betting handicap chases. Every year I think I'll have a crack at this. I seem to get it completely and utterly wrong. So over to you, my good man.
Have a crack at it, Ross. Have a crack and back Brave Fortune. I think he's got a massive chance myself. Joseph O'Brien, your mate. Just very good on good ground. Doesn't probably, you know, there's some rain forecast, but I don't think it'll be, you know, it's not going to be soft or anything like that. And just very good for me. Last year he ran against the Galway plate winner.
Western Fold.
Western Fold, he had Rushmore. He had some really good horses behind
Oscar's
him.
Brother was just ahead of him.
Yeah, Oscar Blazed Away was fifth, and Rush Mountain won a good race. A good novice chase was fourth. He just looks like he's been trained for this day, really, or trained for a race like this, whether it would be the Scottish National, this one, or whatever. But very good form on good ground, getting weight from nearly all of them, and bar Mr. Hope Street. I thought he'd run really well myself.
All right, okay. Yeah, and he had back near Sackney, was back in the field in that race as well. So
yeah,
he's kept some
That's what they would say as solid form, Ross.
Oh, it's bomb-proof, Tom. Bomb-proof.
Bomb-proof, okay, yeah.
There you go. What do you got, Robbie?
Yeah, I like Brave Fortune. Is that in your tips as well, Siegel? Is that why the price is...
He's done you twice.
I've just
now.
Been too busy writing the Edge email today. I've not been able to get down to the shop.
Your favourite thing, Robbie, I'm understanding.
No comment, my friend. Anyway, let's talk about Brave Fortune, shall we? I also agree that he's been kept back for a big spring handicap, to be honest. He was on my radar for the National Hunt Chase, didn't go in that. He's got entries in the Scottish National, the Bet365 Gold Cup of Sandown. He's coming here. That's interesting. Joseph is just one of the best around for the big day, isn't he? And I thought he ran really well over an adequate trip last time at Furlers when last seen. The winner was Emmett Mullins, who was thriving at the time. He's going back over a staying trip. He's running four chases. He's won a point-to-point by miles, lightly raced. Just think he ticks an awful lot of boxes.
Yeah, and again, he's fresh.
And the freshness.
Joseph and JJ had an agonising second today, didn't they? So, you know,
hey.
It's all in there.
Yep.
The only horse I will mention, because he also won here last year, and again, is Deep Cave, who I still can't work him out, but I don't know. When a horse makes an impression on you in a race...
Got to mention the triple, the guy going for the hat-trick, though, haven't we? Cruise Control.
Yeah,
true.
You know, he's won this race twice before. He's only a pound higher than last year. Clearly, this has been the plan. Loves the track. You know what you're going to get with him. It's just, I think, Brave Fortune and perhaps Mr. Hope Street. But these Skelton horses are so short. Might just be a little bit better handicapped. A bit younger and a little bit better handicapped.
Yeah, OK, fair enough. I'm going to go for Confusion here, says McLaughlin. Gizmo has backed Rooster. For the 155, fair enough.
He's getting my lot of Rooster. Oh, that was Miles. Rooster Crow in the French horse. Yeah, shout out to that gentleman.
Yeah. So there you go. Right, the 305 at Aintree, Grade One action here. The Liverpool Hurdle, 11 of them lining up. And again, if Graham Rodway was here, he might well say that tomorrow is Honesty Policy's day, because clearly, after he won last year, again, it's almost too obvious. You think, okay, we think he's going to stay 3 miles. We're going to get him up in trip next year. Why wouldn't you come back to a track where you'd already proven yourself to be a Grade One horse? He's 11-4 favourite. Strong leader, though, might have something to say as well, because he loves it round here. And they're throwing the kitchen sink at him. Wind up, tongue tie, cheek pieces, pretty much everything that can be thrown at Strong Leader has been thrown at him. Jinko Blue dominated at Cheltenham from the front. He's 11-2. Hidden Valley Lake also likes it around here at 13-2. Impose 12 also likes it around here as well, 13-2. Home by the Lee, surely not. Surely not again. at 7-1 and 10-1 are bigger than the rest. Producer Ben disagrees. It might well be one of these days again, maybe. But yeah, honesty policy. We're in a tongue tie for the first time. There's been two winners of this in recent years. We're in a tongue tie.
Oh, look at you!
And they were both Saïd de Berlé, who
nice
has
same connections.
Same connections, admittedly, a little bit older. But honesty policy. Yeah, he again solid favourite.
Yeah, you're probably looking at that market thinking, how is he favourite to beat Home by the Lee when Home by the Lee beat him 6-7 lengths at Cheltenham? But Home by the Lee has pulled up in the last two races at shorter prices after running well at Cheltenham. And honesty policy, yeah, I kind of agree. Like, when you go through that graphic there, you're thinking, like, day honesty policy, day strong leader, day Hidden Valley Lake. The rest of them is more an afterthought after Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Strong leader in Hidden Valley, they obviously fought out the finish last year. I think they're vulnerable to something that could be a bit better than we've seen. I think honesty policy could be that horse. I mean, he obviously won the Mersey last season. That was like 3 months after making his debut. I thought he showed rapid improvement there. His long walk and run was eye-catching. And then in stayers, he's trading, it's something like 4-1 antipodes for that race. He's gone off 11s in the end. And I'm not sure he was quite right there. He's got the first time tongue tie on.
But it was Gordon Elliott, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah, exactly, as you alluded to earlier. So I think he's actually really solid, even though he's not coming in off a... Well, that technically was a career best on RPLs by a couple of pounds. He's the youngest in the field and the one who could be a better horse than we've seen at this trip.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I watched the race back again earlier on, and he actually, again, ran better than I thought. I mean, given the way that the Elliott horses ran, he's kind of icy. He was stuck down the middle of the track.
Give him a pass.
He stayed on all right, I thought.
He's just so low mileage, isn't he, like... Yeah. He's only run twice this season. I just don't think we're really just sort of scratching the surface with him.
And again, the Mersey, I think last year a bit, I thought, I'm not sure about that form, but Regis Stroll in second, placing in a great one
well,
today.
Yeah.
Cocktail Divin was fourth.
Yep.
Miami Magic was seventh, obviously came down, but he was running Grade 1 Cup. But Kappa J Pike was tailed off last. Funicular was in third. He bolted up the day. I think he's a good horse going forward. He'll have a nice race, maybe punch
down.
It's not
bad form, is it? And he's done it over 2.5.
Yeah.
And he's just looked to stay it throughout his career, so.
Yeah. All right, okay.
Solid.
Tom, honestly, is the best policy, but 11-4 shot in a Grade 1, probably not your style. What do you like?
No, don't fancy him at all, myself. Don't like the tongue tie. Don't like the horse. He's not for me. I thought Strong Leader had a good chance. There's three Cheltenham Festival winners in here, aren't there? Jinko Blue, Hidden Air of Entitlement, Home by the Lee. I think the ground might not be quite soft enough for Impose Trois. I thought Hidden Valley Lake might run well myself, just for your man, Henry de Bromhead. Ross just likes the track, ran well up here last year. And the thing you've got to say is that when Saïd de Berlé won in your first time tongue tie, he was 16-1 and 10-1 or 16-1 and 8-1. They're 11-4.
Yeah.
It's plenty short enough for a horse that was fifth at Cheltenham. I mean, normally you're backing horses 11-4 that come first. What won at Cheltenham Festival or been second at Cheltenham Festival. I think he's got a bit to prove, so I'm against him. I think Strong Leader's going to run a massive race at the track, although a little bit disappointed with Ollie Murphy's horses today. I thought they were going to run better than they did. Jinko probably won't get the setup he got in the MGM Cup. That was a ridiculous race from the get-go. I thought Hidden Valley Lake might run well. That would be my one, but it's not a race that I've got involved in.
No, but again, I mean, he's the, you know, the Bob Olinger of this race, isn't he? He's got a great record in this race. He's been third, he's won it last year, and he comes back again and he'll just run his race again.
But he's coming off a bad run, Ross, like you said.
He is coming off a bad run, that is true, which would put me off him a little bit. It's a weird, I do think honesty policy probably is the strongest. I would excuse him post-Tois' run, even though I won't back him tomorrow because of that. I don't know, there was three horses hugged the rail all the way down in that stairs and they finished second last and pulled up. And I just watched that race back, I thought it was weird that it might be a coincidence, but everything
interesting spot
that got in race wide, you know, Cabra the Math and came near side, Ballyburn came near side, Home by the Lee was down the middle of the track. So that was my only thing. I thought maybe those horses could be excused.
We'll see.
But I won't back him because of what I said to you earlier.
You'll just be fuming if he wins.
I'll be absolutely livid.
Nothing worse than missing a winner, is there?
Yeah, but especially because I had him in each way double with Hartwood as well on that day as well. So he's
damn.
Yeah, there's something there, but no. As for those in the chat, let's have a look. Home by the Lee for One Last Dance, says Charlie Breeze. Sounds like a Western song, doesn't it? Home by the Lee for one last dance. Strong leader going to be Cherry Ride, but his favourite course, says Dorian. And Hidden Valley Lake, a strong leader reverse forecast. Cheltenham horses will blow out.
I want some more Western songs from you, Ross. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Come on down to Hidden Valley Lake.
Who's that by?
It's by me.
Is that how Western songs, is that how they sing? Is
they
it?
All Western sound singing? Like this. Let's get a few beers in the back of the truck, etc., etc., and head on down to Hidden Valley Lake. There you go, Tom.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Felt very good.
I'll get me Stetson for the Guinness meeting. Right, let's move on, shall we, to the big race of the day, of the month, of the year. I Am Maximus, 7-1 favourite here. Panic Attack, 8-1. Grange Clare West, 9-1. Jaguar is 10s. Monty Star is 12s. Johnny Who is also 12s. Iroko, 14s. Nick Rocket will not be defending his crown. Then we've got Hayley Kalors, Oscar's Brothers, Captain Cody at 16s. Jerry Colum and Gorgeous Tom and Final Orders at 20s. Champ Kylie and Stella Story are 25-1. Percival Agarwal, Clé de Bourbon, 25. 33's Banbridge. Spillane's Tower is in the race. Spanish Harlem, Lecky Watson, Favori de Champ, doing Jordan's also 33-1. And then we start to get into the big juicy prices. 40's Twig, 50's Firefox, 3 Card Brag, High Class Hero, and the Real Whacker, and Marble Sands, and Top of the Bill, and Imperial Saint as well, who again has snuck in because of those absentees. 66, Mr. Van Gogh, Answer to KFAM, I Write These 80s with Deep Cave, 100's Beauport, Pied Piper Doesn't Go, Ain't That a Shame, and Buddy One are 100-1 as well, although, correct me if I'm wrong, they are currently reserved. So that is the national lineup for 2026. Let's go through them. Tom, one by one. And I know that I Am Maximus is on your shortlist to be in the mix, so tell us why he could possibly bounce back and retain his crown. Not retain, regain his crown.
Regain his crown. Yeah. Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? He's running it twice. He's won it and finished second, so he's clearly going to run well, isn't he? It's just whether he's 10 now and he's slightly up in the weight. So I wouldn't have him as my number one choice, but it's perfectly plausible that he finishes in the frame again.
Robbie, Panic Attack, who has been very, very well back. We were saying, has someone had a Skelton roll up on the Saturday again?
It's just all of Skelton's horses in these big handicaps. So if Harry's riding them, I wasn't massively surprised by the gamble, to be honest. Were you?
Not given the connections, no. But what's make a case for her?
I don't think the mare's chase was her day. I mean, I think she took her form up to another. I know she won the Paddy Power, but she took her form up to another level in the Coral Gold Cup. That was seriously impressive. Was she £8 higher? Definitely can be competitive. She is 10, but she's kind of missed
She's a fresh 10.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And when these mares get on a roll, you never know when it's going to end. She's a fresh 10. And I would want a few more points, though, to be honest.
But you're right. And Harry, he had a good spin on Madara over the fences and, of course, Grey Dawning one. So, actually, you'd be full of confidence as well.
Yeah, of course. And I just don't think the Cheltenham run is one to take totally literally.
Yeah, OK. Grange Clare West, Tom. A little bit unfortunate in this, maybe last year. And comes into it off the back of a demolition job.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's hard to know what would have happened, but I don't think he was going to win myself. I think Nick Rocket was going to win whatever. But clearly, similar mark, won the Bobby Joe, Willie Mullins tried and tested, Patrick's on him. Yeah, there's a lot to like. Just doesn't win very often. I know he did last time, but that was sort of the race. You know, he was very well in at the weights that day. Of course he can run well. He's like I Am Maximus, going to run well. Is he going to win? He wouldn't be my top choice, but he can clearly run well.
Okay. Pick a JP horse you want to make a case for.
Well, I thought we were going down, and I was just going to speak about Jaguar.
Yeah, but
does Jaguar really want it?
I'm not sure either.
Yeah.
The cheap pieces might make the difference, but he ducks and dives and weaves a bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, and people can maybe interpret that as he wants a much longer trip, but I'm not so sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's a possibility that when he wants it, he'll want it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. But does this not seem a bit of an afterthought because he's well handicapped on the ultimate run?
Yeah.
I prefer Iroko of the Greenall horses.
All right, we'll make a good case for
Iroko. Okay, well, he's just been prepared for the race. He's quite a youngish horse on the first time he ran it last season, finished a good fourth. He was fourth, wasn't he? I'm a bit knackered, sorry. Yeah, of course he was. Ridden with a lot more restraint than I expect him to be ridden tomorrow. Granted, it's not a standard start and it's just a lottery. If he's ridden more positively, I think he's got plenty of stamina reserve, so I could just...
Well, I mean, it was his first run from... It was almost certainly a run to put him right, wasn't it?
Sure. Well, yeah, of course it was, yeah. And then the Cheltenham run, again, is not one that I'm taking at face value.
Yeah.
It's all been leading to this day. Whereas that's my problem with Jaguar and Johnny Hu, that they had their day at Cheltenham.
Yeah. And Iroko, he was a baby in this race last year, wasn't
he? Yeah, sure. Yeah, of course he was. He's classy. I mean, he was grade one novice chaser. Probably still got a few pounds in hand.
Yeah. And again, he's peaking at the age of 8.
Yep.
What about Monty Starr then, Tom?
Yeah, I like him. I think he's going to run really well. I'm just slightly concerned whether he'll quite get home. I think he'd be definitely near my number one because I loved his run in the Irish Gold Cup last time. If you go back and watch that, turning for home, it was him and Big Factor File. Gaelic Warrior was behind, Galopant Champ was behind. And before that, I mean, I think he sort of burnt himself a bit. He used himself up a bit too much that day. But he'd stayed on really strongly in the Savills before that to finish fifth. He just looks like a Henry de Bromhead special. He's classy. He's finished fourth in the Gold Cup. Jumps well. Should stay. Slightly concerned that he won't get home. But I think he's got a very good chance, Monty Starr.
Okay. I do think Johnny Hoos is going to run a big race, though. I'm not entirely sure.
I do, too.
I mean... I get the feeling that we just still haven't seen the best of him. And then we pretty much saw the best of him last time out. And the best thing is, Richard McLennan got on board, got great tune out of him. He's off the same mark here. And he's got good course form as well in over hurdles and over fences beyond Colonel Harry back in November. I'm not entirely sure. Part of me thinks, was Cheltenham his day? Or did he just surprise everyone this is his day and he might go in again, Tom?
Well, it was Windhoek first time at Cheltenham, wasn't he? That might have made a big difference to him. I thought he was... I can't see why Jaguar should be any shorter than him, myself. I think he's much more reliable in his jumping. And the problem with Jaguar, for me, is his jumping. Now, I know we always talk about horses not... You know, it's not that big a test, but you've still got to get into a rhythm. I wonder whether Jaguar won't get in a rhythm and that will stop him staying the trip. I think he should stay the trip, but whether he will because of the way he jumps, I don't know. So yeah, I like Johnny Hu. I think he'll go well. The stable's going really well. There's loads you can make a case for. There's loads. I like Captain Cody as well.
I was just going to say, yeah, because he's obviously won the Scottish version last year.
Yeah. Typical Willie Mullins prep, isn't it? Well, apart from he's not he went by Estes Bobby Joe. That's how Willie Mullins did it with Nick Rockett. He's done it with Headshunter, sort of. They've won running their Thiestes and the Bobby Joe and come here. I think it's been the plan all along. It's just things have gone wrong. He fell early in the Thiestes and then he got stuck in the mud at Leopardstown. I think the key to him, as we saw at Ayr last year, is good ground, decent ground. He's a totally different horse on decent ground. Like him, think he'll go well, but there's loads. I mean, if you want me to say the other ones are fancy, I'll do it straight off. I think Percival Le Gallois is an interesting runner just because it's Gavin Cromwell, and Gavin Cromwell wins big races, and he wins big races with horses that have, I mean, look how I know the way you're thinking around in the Gold Cup this last year and this Will the Wise today. It's just going to have been the plan. He was 10 to 1 third favourite last year after he rocketed home to win the Paddy Power. If he doesn't stay, I give up. He's a certain stayer. He's got Harry Cobden on. They say he's not had a good season. I thought he ran fine behind Hartwood last time in the Tremor race. I think he's been kept back for this. So I could see him going really well for Harry Cobden. But the one named after me, Gorgeous Tom, has obviously been aimed at the race too. He ran really well in the Coral Gold Cup. And he got, and listen, you can make a case. My old friend Haiti Kalor could run well. And Oscar's brother, and Stella Story, and Champ Kylie's won a grade one, and Final Order's won the Cheltenham Festival. Yeah, so you could just go on and on.
You could, but just before we came on the show, you said, should we talk about each individual horse? And I was doing that, and you've rattled through loads of them.
I'm sorry.
It's hard to keep track of which ones you've got left now.
You've taken off.
Sorry. Sorry,
no, I enjoyed that, Tom. You're doing my job for me then. Keep going.
I mean, I really like Oscar's brother.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a he was a massive eye catcher at Cheltenham. And again, watching it back earlier, even more of an eye catcher. I don't know. I don't think he was incredibly busy until the race had had gone, and he ran on. He's beat Cocktail Divan. He's beat Gold Dancer in novice chasers. He jumps. Based on that Cheltenham form, he will have absolutely no issue staying. He's an unexposed 8-year-old. He just never runs a bad race.
And he's beaten Brave Fortune as well.
He's beaten Brave Fortune as well, yeah.
What more do you want?
He has got, I would argue, the best novice form in here. And he's making his handicap debut after running a career best, finishing fourth in a Grade 1 last time out. And he's sort of 16, 18 to 1. I mean, he's fresh as a daisy. Basically, every single race that you put him in, he runs an absolute blinder. So I can't really see any reason why he won't run an absolute blinder
mate.
Tomorrow.
Is there a little bit of Noble Yates about him as well? Just a touch. The sort of six
young,
runs and novices.
Openly progressive, yeah.
Openly progressive. And it's not like he's been on the go all winter. He missed 3 months as well. Yeah. November, they shut up until February, come back, building. Could be his day.
Yeah, and again, I mean, it happened a couple of seasons ago when A.M. Maximus won a Grade 1, and then I thought, crikey, hang on, you've got an Irish National winner winning a Grade 1 over Shorter. I was like, that'll win a Grand National, that. Didn't back it, won a Grand National. And the first thing I thought when Oscar's brother rattled home at Cheltenham was, oh, that's gonna tee him up perfectly.
I like it.
And he's a Grade 1 horse off, who's 16th in the weights. I think he'll run.
I think his mark's all right. Yeah.
I mean, well, we don't know. He could be thrown in.
He could be. He's definitely not badly handicapped as well. I'll say.
Yeah. I mean, he would have placed in the Grade 1 earlier. So.
Yeah, of course he would have done. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, he's number one on mine, and partly I didn't want him having number two, and I didn't want to talk myself out of him anymore. But make a case for pick three more to make a solid case for Tom.
Well, Jerry Colomb, for starters, second in a Gold Cup, won 5 Grade 1s. Pretty good horse, that, to be trading around 20 to 1. Jack Kennedy's choice. Jan Kiley won the Grade 1 at Punchestown last year. Danny Mullins. And at a huge price, but listen, he's not going to win because he's a British horse when the Irish are going to win this. We know that. The horse of... That's the grey horse, Marble Sands. Mm. I thought he might run quite well at a big price. I don't think he might be one to hit six, seven, eight if you're getting those for the bookies at a big price. He just impressed me as a stayer when he won at Cheltenham earlier in the season. He's had a go around the fences. You know, he's run on the flat and shown some pace. So you know, he's got a bit about him. So of those at a massive price, he could go well. And I'd like Imperial Saint to run well as well for Dickie Johnson and his crew, because he did me a good turn at Haydock earlier in the season and he got no sort of run at Cheltenham when, you know, he's a lot better than he showed that day.
And partly, partly the thing everyone was saying about when he runs elsewhere is, isn't this horse just an Aintree horse? So
yeah, exactly.
Here he is. What else is on your...
I'll give you two Giggenstown ones, shall I?
Go on then, talk them up.
Stella Story ran really well in the Bobby Joe off bad terms against proper Grade 1 horses. He's back on much better terms. I'd probably rather there's a bit of softer ground, but just looks like he's been brought along steadily, as you kind of like in this race. The other Giggenstown horse, Keita Bourbon, who, if I'm not mistaken, the gentleman in Reading very much tipped in the big jump off.
I did. You're right.
You're still keeping the faith, Tom?
Well, I've got a few quid on him at 50 to 1, so I'll definitely be watching out for him. I don't know what colour hat he's going to have, but he's...
He's got a blue hat.
He's got a blue hat for Reading.
I think you're onto something. I mean, he's brought down in the Grade 1 here last season, and after he unseated at Cheltenham, and then he's sort of lost his confidence a bit, jumping, still managed to finish third in the Irish Grand National. Pulled up on his first two starts this season, but then he showed a lot more of top weight in a handicap at Leopardstown over an insufficient trip where a lot of these have ran in. Yep. Shaped really well. Donna Myler, good jock, I'd say. He's only 7.
Yeah.
Could be much better than we've seen.
But this is what I mean. You've got a 7-year-old borderline Grade 1 chaser of 151, and he's 26th in the weights.
It's
not the national level of everything, but it's an unbelievable lineup.
I'm taking it as a positive that they didn't go for the Irish Grand National because he was prominent in betting for that, and they've opted here instead. I quite like him, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, nothing would have beat that winner.
No.
Based on the way he...
Yeah, that's a good horse.
He bolted up. Others to throw into the mix, I thought Man might run okay before we narrow it down. Again, the problem with the case I made earlier about horses who aren't going into it in good form, I do think that Jordan's has been sort of aimed at this race all winter. He ran a blind here last year behind Colwell Potter and it backed him on that day as well. And he, you know, it was one of those ones where you think, oh crikey, he's outrun his odds and what he'd shown before. And then every single run this season, Tom, just screams, preserve the mark, preserve the mark, preserve the mark.
It was that handicap run, wasn't it, Ross, at Leopardstown?
Yeah. Yeah,
in the hurdle race where he flew home up the outside. I remember thinking to myself, well, he's getting ready for the national, isn't he?
Yes, and the yard won that race with Duke Silver, who runs early on the card.
Correct.
So and you're right. And I thought, because he was entering a few at Cheltenham as well, and he didn't go. But yeah, everything screams this is the big day.
Yes,
I mean that was. I never thought he was a stayer until that day, and then he's. I mean, and then he stayed on. I mean, I still have it in my back of my mind that he won't. That 4.5 miles is going to be a little bit too far for him. But I completely agree with you on the fact that he is going to be peaking for the day. This is going to be his. He's going to have been waiting for this all season long. So yes, I can see. And obviously, he's got the Caldwell Potter form from last year.
First off, when Firefox rattled home at Leopardstown as well, that also made me think, how the hell has Firefox finished fourth in this Grade One? And then he did the same in the Gold Cup, obviously. That form's been good, right? Because his best run by a country mile, maybe not a country mile, but he I thought the track would suit him. I thought, again, he might be aimed at this. I've kind of gone off him a little bit, but I think he was sort of backed into 16s after that Leopardstown run. Now he's 50-1, which seems a bit daft, given that he's running two Grade One races and run really well in his last couple of starts. And obviously that Iroko run at Ascot, they were all looking around going, see you at Aintree, lads. You know, we're all going to be in the same race.
Yeah.
And then the one that was slightly annoying me to a certain extent is because I thought Spanish Harlem was a really interesting horse. I backed him in the Martin Pipe and he ran a stinker about 2 years ago. And since then, I think he's won about three races, including that big race, the Kerry National at Listowel, by 4.5 lengths, pulling away. Basically, I thought this is a good horse and I've got absolutely nothing out of him since.
Nothing worse.
But he's a good ground spring horse and he hasn't had those conditions until tomorrow, since he absolutely bolted up at this stall. So I do think he's a little bit interesting, and he's a little bit unlucky, he's a little bit unfortunate. He tends to find trouble in a Buddhist monastery. He's one of those type of horses. But he was prominent at this stall, so if he's prominent again, I think he'd have a little bit of a squeak.
He wouldn't want the Thaiskies as well, Ross, wouldn't he?
He was
going to win
the Thaiskies
without a shadow of a doubt, and that was on heavy ground. He was a massive price that day.
Well, this one, he's got all sorts of a bit. Like he was running in novice hurdles, and I remember thinking, this horse has no idea what he's doing, but bloody hell, he can do it well. And it's just taken him a couple of years to get the hang of it.
He ran so badly. I mean, I don't know if you boys backed him. I did in the Scottish National 1 year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was horrible that day. Now, he got badly hampered, but he never jumped. He was right around the outside. He was nearly favourite, wasn't he, for a Scottish National 1 year?
Yeah, he was.
And he just ran a shocker. But this year, he's been much, much more. You know, he won the Kerry National. He should have won the Thaisties.
Yeah. And because he looks like he's got a chaotic profile, I think he's maybe been a little bit forgotten. But also, I think it just speaks to the quality of this year's renewal, Tom, that actually, you know, a horse with that sort of profile, I mean, if he'd have won the Thaisties, I think he would have been a lot shorter. So it's a really good renewal and he's a big price as well.
Absolutely. It's a brilliant race, isn't it? Absolutely brilliant race.
Let's have a look on the chat before we narrow it down, shall we? I tell you what, is there any other horse on your shortlist?
I think we've discussed all of mine, yeah.
And Tom, any other on your shortlist before?
I've mentioned 27 already, and I can't remember the other eight.
We'll chisel it down in a second. Rod Panhard's going for Grange Clare West, who's also rock solid each way for Lee Richardson. Vince Nett is going for Percival Legelwar Jaguar, Iron Maximus Monty Star in the Real Whacker. So that's his five to throw into the mix. Iron Maximus, Oscar's brother, Jaguar, Iroko, Johnny Hoo, Grange Clare West, Philly Richardson. What else have we got here in the chat? Johnny Hoo's got a similar profile to Corak Rambler, says OTB Racing, and could run well. Percival Legelwar for Dimp. Jaguar, Iron Maximus, Bambridge, and Final Orders for Dorian. Champ Kylie could be interesting for OTB. That would break your heart slightly, I think.
Absolutely.
Does he have a chance?
Nah, he won't go home, I don't think.
Yeah, fair enough.
Wouldn't have thought so.
Key de Bourbon for James Day. Aimed at the race, lovely weight, and will love the ground. Jojo Gizmos, Firefox, Monty Star, Champ Kai, the Real Wacker, and Mr. Vango. Panic Attack, Iron Maximus, Jaguar, and Oroko for Rizzo. And there we go. Any others here? About the Real Wacker at 100-1 each way. Might get in a good rhythm, says Chris Piper. And also back Key de Bourbon at 40s. You could bet half the field and still not get the winner, John Kerr. You could bet three quarters of them. Well, I mean, you could bet.
It's interesting, Ross. You said earlier that Oscar's brother might have had the best novice form. Well, the Real Whacker won the Brown Advisory, didn't he? He wasn't fourth in it. He actually won it.
True enough.
It feels like a lifetime ago, that, though, isn't it?
I know. Of course it does. But the point is that he's a completely forgotten horse, isn't he? He's 100-1. And he actually won the race. Now, that is a long time ago, and you're hoping, but he's a very good jumper, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And Gavin Sheehan in the saddle for the first time since he rode him to finish fourth in the King George. All right, let's quickly rattle through others. I mean, again, but even you even look at also, like Leckie Watson.
Yeah. Again, another one. He won a Brown Advisory too.
Yeah, that was only 12 months ago. He's 33-1.
He has done nothing this season.
Yeah.
So he's got to be off your list. But it just wouldn't shock you if he ran well.
No, but again, Mullins has got so many of these horses.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
That you could be the 12th best staying chaser in the Mullins yard and still pop up and win a big race at some point.
It's crazy.
It is pretty crazy. Okay, just quickly before the only other one at shortish prices that we haven't picked a positive out for is Final Orders, which would be daft given that Gavin Cromwell won the Topham today.
The only thing I've got against him is that he couldn't win the Ulster National last year, and I backed him to win the Ulster National. He was a big drifter. He ended off 12-20, and he looked like he was going to win, but he didn't win it. Now, he's found his métier. He's loving these cross-country fences, isn't he? Like a lot of Gavin Cromwells do, excuse me. And if that's brought the confidence into him, but he never looked good enough to win a race like this until he started cross-countrying, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and he's also had about, again, I didn't realise, he's had about 700 runs over the fences
as well. Yeah, but a lot of them were over 2 miles. But he stepped up in trip to the Ulster National. Couldn't win it last year, but he sort of taken his form to a total different level in the cross-country races. I don't know if he's good enough really to beat, you know, your Iron Maximuses and horses like that.
Okay, and then just one more, because I think the best horse in this race we haven't talked about, and that's Bambridge.
Yeah, weird spot for him. Very odd spot. Yeah. That's a day out for Ronnie Bartlett, do you reckon?
Surely not, Robbie. Surely Joseph is sitting there thinking,
Jordans will finish ahead of him.
All right,
I love the horse. I backed him at Cheltenham in the Ryanair. I didn't like what I saw there, particularly with view to the Grand National.
Yeah.
No, he didn't jump. But that was a last minute thing. I mean, I did a couple of Cheltenham previews, and they're all saying, "Oh, Bambridge, he's running in the Grand National. He's not going to Cheltenham." And I think they probably got wind that Factor File might not run, or there were some doubts about things going on, and they thought it might be a weak race. And he picked up plenty of prize money, didn't he? He came third.
Well, and it might have been similar to Impey Pass, who it would have almost worked in the sense of we need to give him a run. It fits in perfectly, so why not go for the Ryanair?
Well, and as you say, he's a King George winner. He's finished in front of Gaelic Warrior in the King George this year and Django Bay. Mm. He's a very, very good horse. just 4.5 miles or 4 miles two or whatever it is these days. That's the question mark about him, isn't it?
Should have gone for the bowl.
Yeah.
Or even the Melling.
Yeah. But he's here.
But he's here. Good luck to him. I do love the horse. Shouldn't be mean.
He's an absolute blinder of a horse, isn't he?
Of course he is,
especially on good ground, which you'll get tomorrow. Okay, right. That's pretty much every horse who could have a squeak, I think, who we've at least mentioned a positive for. So, I'm going to give you... So, I want four horses, Robbie.
Yep.
One line summary on each, and then your main selection.
Of course, it's going to take a while, isn't it?
No, I mean, not if you talk...
No, it won't. I'll rattle through.
No, look, so, horse's name.
Yep.
You know, as in like this quick spotlight.
Yeah, okay.
And then
spotlight, off the cuff.
Yeah.
Improvised.
So, you four horses.
Yep. Key de Bourbon.
Yep.
So I've gone frozen.
I tell you what, you show how it's done. You show him how it's done, Tom. Your four horses.
Okay, Monty Star. Fourth in a Gold Cup. Very classy. Trained for the race. Ran really well in the Irish Gold Cup last time. Percival Le Gallois, Paddy Power Chase winner. I always think that's a good trial for the race. 30 runner, fiercely competitive Irish handicaps. I like horses that have run well in big handicaps. Not done much this season, but Gavin Cromwell, very dangerous. Captain Cody, just the ground change for him, I think will bring him back to life because he looked a complete weapon on good ground in the Scottish. And I could throw in loads of others, but I suppose the safest one is I Am Maximus, just because Paul Towne and Willie Mullins, first 2 years ago, second last year.
All right.
How was that? Robbie, what do you think?
That was really succinct.
There you go. And I'll do mine to give you another example.
It's all improvised, mate, but please,
you'll be
carry
ready.
On.
So Oscar's brother, like I said, running on from the back, handicap debut on Saturday, proper grade one novice chaser, best novice chase form in this field this season. I think he's got a hell of a lot more to offer. I think he'll run a really big race. I think Johnny Who, again, he's got good course form. We haven't seen the best of him in the past couple of seasons, but the Windup made the difference at Cheltenham, as Tom said earlier on, and I'd be surprised if any that finished behind him on that occasion turned the form around. I think he's still got plenty to offer off a light weight. Jordan's, who I think is, again, a risky one, but he ran a blind ear last year in a grade one, finishing second, and he's been trained for this race all season, and he's drifted to a very, very big price for a yard who are absolutely on fire. And then the big price is Spanish Harlem for me. Like I said, he caught the eye in novice hurdles a couple of seasons ago. He is a bit of a chaotic profile horse. He can, as he unseated at the last, a couple of starts ago in a big race, but that Kerry National, he absolutely dotted up. He loved good ground, and he's still young and unexposed, and of course trained by Willie Mullins, and I think he's got a big chance. So there's there's my four for the National. So Robbie, your four.
Key de Bourbon, shaped well after
You can just speak like a normal
Key de Bourbon. Shaped pretty well in the Irish Grand National after a bad preparation, come off the back of being brought down on a full. Trained for the race, good eye-catching preparation at Leopardstown. Jordan's running that Leopardstown race. Another who ran really well, actually, at Aintree. He almost beat Corwell Potter in the grade one. Laid out for this. Oscar's brother, bit of Noble Yates about him. Sixth run, high-class novice form. Yet another career best. Cheltenham last time, being kept fresh. Missed a lot of the winter. And the final one is Oroco, been there and done it, off a patient ride, be ridden more aggressively this time. He will finish in front of Jaguar out of the Greenall horses, I'll be confident of that.
Put it there, mate.
Let's
go.
So I don't know why I struggled so much.
That's all right. I think you're overcomplicating in your brain.
Maybe, yeah. You threw me a bit, but I should have been able to roll the punches a bit better.
But you didn't.
As David Brent might say, you phased him.
Yeah. You phased him. I phased you.
Appreciate you comparing me to David Brent. Give me another 5 or 10 years at the very least. There you go. Right. Okay. There you go. There's our national thoughts. And the number one, Tom, for you.
Well, the one I've backed, I've got the most money on, is Monty Star. I have also backed Percival Le Gallois today, and I backed Captain Cody a few weeks ago as well.
All right. Fair enough. The only horse I've backed is Oscar's brother. Backed him after Cheltenham. I really do think he's going to run a really, really big race. Robbie, what's your number one?
Key de Bourbon.
There you go.
They are my keys.
Yeah.
Live on air.
Do you have a
bottle for producer Ben right there? Yeah.
We should have got some biscuits.
Proper chouse.
We should have got some biscuits. Can you tell us again what your number one is without the Chelsea thing?
No.
Okay.
Keita Bourbon. Let's talk about the bumper. Are we even doing that?
I'll get to it, Robbie.
Sorry,
are
mate.
You all right, mate?
I'm fine.
Is the Grand National, has it pickled your brain?
It's just a long night, isn't it?
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Last race on Grand National Day is the bumper to see it off and get your four string guitars out. And it's Bass Hunter at 2-1. Look Me is 7-2. The Perfect Poet 9s 10-1 at One Night and Rice Pool 11-1 and Bigger the Rest. Over to our bumper obsessive, Mr. Tom Siegel.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Bass Hunter.
It's named after the artist, Tom.
Who's Bass Hunter?
The Swedish. You remember him, don't you?
I do.
Now You're Gone.
Leonardo da Vinci painted him, I think. anyway, tell us about Bass Hunter.
Well, he ran a cracker, didn't he, to be third in the Cheltenham bumper. Clearly got the best form. Dangerous, this Look Me, though, isn't he? Looked really good when he won, wherever he won, in one of those Irish bumpers. It was only a small field race, but I don't know. Willie Mullins comes to these races and he wins them, doesn't he? So I'd be very dangerous. Yeah, I'd be worried about him. The rest are a bit of a muchness. I thought One Night was quite interesting for Emma Lavelle, but it's a bit of a guess. And the one I most liked from just watching them all was Rice's Pool. It was a very well bred horse for Ben Pauling. He won the Diva Luna won one of the bumpers there, didn't she? One year, same owner, I think.
Yep.
And just was impressive the other day. Went well clear, got a bit tired, something closed him down late on, but he'd be the sort of one from left field. But I do think one of the top two will win.
All right,
probably Bass Hunter.
Robbie, anything in the bumper?
Probably Bass Hunter, yeah. Not a race I'd be betting him, but I mean, if you are taking a short price, I like the fact that you know he's just going to front run, he's going to keep it uncomplicated, and there is no one better executing a front running efficient ride than Harry Cobden. So I'd say that's a positive jockey booking taken over from Freddie Gordon, with all due respect, Freddie.
All right, fair enough. Right, let's get the naps and stuff in a second. But again, another reminder that the show is sponsored by Bowl Sports, and you get your money back as a free bet if your horse loses. Terms and conditions apply for that one. And sign up with the link below.
Sorry, Ross, how many places are we in the national with?
That's a good question. Let's have a gander, shall we? There you go, six places. Yeah, fifth of the odds, six places. So
perfect. So that's one thing that punters should all look around. You might get even seven somewhere around. Just have a look around. But Boyle Sports, six places, sounds pretty good to me.
All right, there you go.
Sounds unreal.
Right, let's get the your nap on National Day and then your national pick again for the social boys. So on Grand National Day, best bet and national pick, Robbie.
Best bet is Kaka's cousin in the 120 entry. The national bet is Keita Bourbon.
All right, Kaka's cousin and Keita Bourbon then for Robbie. Tom Siegel.
Away from the national, Brave Fortune in the handicap chase. In the national, well, I got a few running for me. Monty Star and Percival Le Galois and Captain Cody, really.
All right. Thank you very much. And best bet away from the national, we'll go Bossman Jack in the Mersey. And in the national, it's all about Oscar's brother for me in the green and gold. Thank you kindly for watching. And we will see you, we'll see you for the guineas. We'll completely change our hat from the jumps hat to the flat hat. My flat hat will be a Stetson. See what we can find for Robbie and Tom. But Tom, enjoy National Day.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
And what time does the Masters finish on Sunday?
Oh, God knows. I've got to, tomorrow my day involves Musselburgh Sunday series.
There you go.
I mean, do you want to swap shifts tomorrow, mate? on the Bayard shift?
What are you doing?
I'm doing the Bayard shift.
What's the badge? I know. I'm not going to go there, Robbie.
We can talk off air if you. I'm very happy.
No, you're more than welcome to that one, my friend.
All right, guys. Let's we'll keep that one to the in-house Slack chat, shall we? Okay. Thanks to everyone watching. Ian Macy, King of Moreland, Rompy Gomez, McLaughlin, Alpha J Black, JJ Pigiano, Rizzo, Tommy Daniels, Dom Hill, Neil Fra, David Borum, Richard Salter Townsend, and everyone else too. It's been a pleasure. And I hope everything goes smoothly in the national tomorrow. Come home, safe and sound, all of you. and let's have a great race. Because it looks good on paper, let's hope it works out that way. See you next time.